G'day and welcome to Ad Nauseam Podcast. Today we're going to talk about peri-intubation life threats. References for today are mainly Life in the Fast Lane and Rebel EM. First, we'll talk about pre-induction life threats using the mnemonic VAPORS, which is in detail on the Life in the Fast Lane website. VAPORS stands for ventilation, acidemia, pressures, oxygenation, underlying disease, regurgitation, and shock index. For ventilation, we need to match the patient's minute ventilation if there's a metabolic acidemia, correct severe hypoventilation to facilitate maximal pre-oxygenation prior to intubation. We need to correct respiratory acidemia and prevent excess cerebral vasodilatation in at-risk patients, and gently ventilate to avoid respiratory alkalosis, gastric distension, and barrow and volute trauma. For acidemia, we need to correct acidemia as much as possible and avoid a superimposed respiratory acidosis, considering ventilation during the apneic phase. For pressures, we consider A, B, C, D, and E. A for alveolar, lung protective ventilation, so 6 to 8 mL per kilo total volume. Brain, in the setting of TBI or raised intracranial pressure, avoiding excessive PEEP to prevent further rises in ICP and maintain the MAP for adequate cerebral perfusion pressure. C for circulating pressures, both systemic and pulmonary. Avoid systemic hypotension, so consider starting inopressor agents prior to intubation in at-risk patients, and avoid exacerbating pulmonary hypertension and right ventricular failure in at-risk patients, so avoiding hypoxia and hypoxic pulmonary vasoconstriction, and avoid acidemia and hypercarbia, and avoid excessive PEEP and positive pressure ventilation. D for dynamic hyperinflation, avoid by providing an obstructive airways approach to ventilation in at-risk patients and disconnect from the ventilator and handbag and allow full exhalation if required. E for the American esophageal or gastric pressures, aim to ventilate with a peak inspiratory pressure of less than 15 centimetres of water prior to intubation to prevent gastric distension and insufflation. Consider a nasogastric tube before or immediately after endotracheal intubation, for example, in children and bowel obstruction patients. But there are pros and cons of that. O for oxygenation. So optimise pre-oxygenation, apneic and post-intubation oxygenation, a term called per-oxygenation as per the Difficult Airway Society. Consider ventilation during the apneic phase, as mentioned above. Again, weigh that against the risk of regurgitation and aspiration, especially if they cannot be adequately pre-oxygenated due to a shunt. U for underlying disease. Seek and treat underlying disease and the complications prior to intubation, but only if it addresses the immediate life threat or makes airway management easier. R for regurgitation of fluids, so perform a rapid sequence intubation if high risk of aspiration and no other life threats is going to be the majority of cases in ED. And control upper airway bleeding, suction secretions, consider prokinetics and or nasogastric tube to reduce the risk of regurgitation. And finally, S for shock index, which is heart rate over systolic blood pressure. A shock index of greater than 1 predicts a high risk of life-threatening hypotension, so you need to consider the underlying cause and treat it, and also facilitate appropriate fluid resuscitation and use of inotropes and vasopressors. Rightio, so we might move on to post-intubation hypoxia or poor end-tidal CO2 trace using the mnemonic SOAPT, which is a bit of a modification from the normal DOPES. S for stacked breaths or dynamic hyperinflation. O for obstruction. Consider secretions, mucus plug, ETT kinking, biting on the ETT or bronchospasm. A for anaphylaxis. P for the patient, whether it be pneumothorax, pulmonary edema, pulmonary embolism. E for equipment failure, disconnection or loose fittings, incorrect settings. And D for displacement of the tube, so right main bronchus or accidental extubation, and consider a cuff leak. The management for post-intubation hypoxia and a poor end-tidal CO2 trace can go by the mnemonic DOTS, D-O-T-T-S, but can also consider a patient-to-wall or a wall-to-patient approach. D for disconnect to allow full expiration and bag valve mask and decompress the chest externally if required. O for oxygenate using a bag valve mask at 100% FiO2. T for tube position, so check the position and function, compare to previous position, suction, check the cuff integrity and check the end-tidal CO2 trace. T for tweak ventilator settings, respiratory rate, tidal volume, PEEP, pressure support and IE ratio, considering dynamic hyperinflation. S for sedation and paralysis, consider deepening it, and also salbutamol for bronchospasm, and S for sonography for pneumothorax, and consider thoracostomy if there's evidence of one. Okay, so post-intubation hypotension causes now. There's a well-known mnemonic that Reverly M have published online, but I won't repeat it so that I keep the episode clean. But I've changed the letters around to be HASHIT, H-A-S-H-I-T. H for hypovolemia, A for anaphylaxis, which is either new or worsening, S for stacked breaths or dynamic hyperinflation, H for heart, so dysrhythmias, both electrolyte and ischemia causes, and also contractility, consider tamponade, acidosis and pulmonary hypertension, I for induction agent vasoplegia, and T for tension pneumothorax. The management for post-intubation hypotension can go by the mnemonic BAD GP, B-A-D, GP. Consider bolus of pressor, so adrenaline, 20 mics IV, for example, or 500 mics IM for anaphylaxis, metaraminol, 0.5 to 1 milligrams IV, and then a fluid bolus or blood, so CSL, half a litre stat, or blood for a trauma or bleeding patient. A for assess for anaphylaxis, vasodilatation, rash and a wheeze. D for disconnect the endotracheal tube, allow full expiration and then handbag and stabilise and then consider down titrating sedation. G for gas or venous blood gas for acidosis and electrolytes and replace and transfuse as necessary. P for POCUS for tension pneumothorax, tamponade and right ventricular failure and consider empiric decompression of the chest, pericardiocentesis and diuresis. Now for post-intubation arrest. This can go by the mnemonic scapegoat. S for send for help. C for CPR, making sure it's good quality, 110 beats a minute. A third of the chest depth in the lower chest, allowing full recoil. Using a mechanical device if once available. And capnography. A for airway. Is the endotracheal tube in the trachea? Remove it if in doubt and bag valve mask ventilate and come up with a re-intubation plan. P for defibrillator pads, apply them in the anterolateral position and also point of care ultrasound to the bedside to consider tamponade tension and hypovolemia. E for evaluate the rhythm ASAP. Now for GOAT, G, gas or venous gas, arterial gas for reversible causes applicable to this patient in this context. O for oxygen, 100% FiO2. A for adrenaline, a milligram if it's a non-shockable rhythm. T for treat the other reversible causes and consider SOAPT mentioned above and also HASHIT for hypoxia and hypotension. Okay, so we've talked about peri-intubation life threats, both pre-intubation life threats and then post-intubation hypoxia, hypotension and arrest. Thanks for listening.